It's summer. You want books? We've been finding them for you. And today's is being compared to Thornton Wilder's Our Town, about the goings-on in a small New Hampshire town. The central character in The Dependents is Gene, a widower grieving the death of his wife after 49 years of marriage, questioning whether that marriage was what he thought it was. He's also questioning his friendships and his life as a shoe store owner in a world where people don't want him to kneel in front of them measuring their feet. They want to order online. And he's finding solace in Tolstoy. His thoughts seem remarkable at times, considering the author who created him is a 38-year-old female, Catherine Dion, who joins us now. Congratulations, because this is also your first novel?
Yes, it is. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, so where'd you come up with this?
When I got into my 30s, I realized that I didn't actually know my own parents as well as I had maybe dreamed or hoped I had. And I started to think a lot about how some of the most intimate relationships in our lives are not necessarily based on a deep or a definitive knowledge of each other, that through sheer contact with the people in our lives, there's almost a fiction that's created, that we know something true about the other person's inner life. I was also curious about what I didn't know and the feeling I had that my parents had lives that really existed beyond me, especially their lives maybe before me or apart from me. So one of the things I was really interested in is exploring how those intimate familial relationships consist of that incredible closeness and intimacy, and yet often obscure as much as they reveal.
What a great, great thought, because it is true. I think many people of a certain age have that same thought, like, wait a minute, I didn't really know them intimately. So did you have the chance to talk to your parents, or is this your imagination? You know, you're imagining.
So the story is very, very much fictional. I did actually have a chance to talk to my parents. In particular, I did do some interviews with my father, but I found that I didn't actually want to write about my own family and my own life. And in particular, I was interested in writing about a father and daughter who had a very mysterious relationship in a lot of ways. What is interesting is that the mother figure became absolutely central to the relationship between the father and the daughter, and in a sense is an invisible gravitational force that really is affecting all of the relationships in the book. And that for me also was very much tied to an experience I had of having a close friend commit suicide when I was 30, and starting to attune to the way that my experience of my friend didn't always accord with the experiences that other people who had known her and loved her well had. And that was a very destabilizing and actually frightening experience for me, because with my friend's absence, there was a real desire to cling to the particular memories I had of her and to somehow say, well, those are fixed and those can't be altered in time. And in fact, what started to happen is that the memories that I had very much began to shift as I came into contact with other people and heard their stories. And the more I explored this, the more it seems to me that it's a very universal experience, that our memories of a person do not end with the end of their lives.
Huh, yeah, that also resonates. So this is all going into this. And I mentioned that it's been compared in one review to Our Town, this sense that, you know, at the outset, you think, well, this is okay. I mean, here's an older man kind of reflecting on his life and questioning it. Very internal storytelling. You know, he's not very expressive. He's not the superstar in these relationships that evolved. These two friends, he, Gene, and his friend Ed, they raise their families together, as many families do, vacation together. He's not the star in that show. There's something about his summing up his life that does feel very poetic. There's an example. He's walking down the boardwalk near his home. He sees a kid getting onto a bike. He's unexpectedly moved, you write, Gene couldn't say why it moved him, why this freak susceptibility to ordinary dull occurrences suddenly revealing themselves as the world's Valentine to itself, the splendor tossed off so casually it made you feel that incidental, unwarranted gorgeousness was actually the hidden power of the universe. Why the avian commotion in his chest, the fluttering? The sheer rawness of his senses didn't explain it. He couldn't understand why, in the midst of feeling it might be desirable to die, the splintering of the air in the late afternoon by a boy on a bicycle could exist as complete joy.
I know that for me in my 20s and certainly in my 30s, and perhaps it will continue in my 40s and 50s, I have been somehow reassured by the thought that at some moment I will figure out my life and I will understand its purpose. And part of what I was interested in exploring in this book, in part because it was very frightening to me, but also seemed very possible, is that a person might get to a certain age or stage in their life and really feel that that summing up hadn't come together. And so what might we be left with if we can't look back at our lives and point to particular relationships or incidents and explain them fully to ourselves? And I think that is what Gene, the protagonist, experiences. And on the one hand, it makes him incredibly vulnerable, but on the other, it opens him up to the present moment in a way that maybe he wouldn't be able to access if he was focused on creating a kind of narrative meaning. And so that moment where he's sort of deep in his grief and walking along in this beach town, he's really possessed by this image of this boy on a bicycle. And I think that those moments are available to all of us if we are attentive to our lives in a particular way. I wanted to write from the point of view of a person who was not extraordinary in that sense, and he wasn't able to always express his encounters with these kind of moments. That was a really important way of moving into and through this book, and I think gives it that quality maybe that you're talking about that has compared it to Our Town.
What a lovely idea to make him a shoe salesman as well, because shoes were made in New England and the entire industry, you know, disappeared, you know, decimated different towns, but it decimated people like him. And you made me remember going to the shoe salesman who would carefully measure your foot. And he, as you write, he hadn't seen it coming, the shift in attitude in his customers. They didn't want him kneeling before them, making sure their toe and the ball of the foot were in the right place. They didn't need him.
One of the losses for all of us is that our lives become more organized around convenience than experience. And it's a moment of intimacy. It's, you know, here's someone touching your foot.
But that's gone too, along with his wife, along with his trust of his best friend, Ed, who was always the superstar of this two-family combination. And you bring him, we don't want to give too much away, but you bring him ultimately to a situation where he's forced indoors and he reads Tolstoy's Anna Karenina, which, you know, is considered one of, you know, the best novel of all time. But why did you pick that?
Well, certainly that novel was incredibly influential on me as a writer, and not just as a writer, as a feeler and perceiver. I think Tolstoy brilliantly captures the way that we are limited in how we communicate with each other, and yet our inner lives are incredibly rich. You know, he says something about how they didn't even have a language for what was in their hearts or what was in their souls. And so I think that idea or that theme really infuses the whole novel.
Well, and I was also wondering, too, here you have this man questioning, you know, was my life well lived? Was my marriage a good one? Can I even trust, you know, what was going on with all our friends? Wait a minute, was there something I didn't know about? And then you have him read Anna Karenina, which is such a tragic story of a countess, you know, who does have an affair. You could say she had a pretty exciting life, but you wouldn't want it, you know? And he might close the book and think, I did okay.
Yeah, and I think Anna Karenina, you know, also asks all these questions about what does it mean to be faithful to the person we're married to? What does it mean to be faithful to a self that maybe at some points in our lives we didn't nourish or we didn't give enough freedom to? And so those are questions that Gene is asking of himself. And how do we, again, how do we measure the dimensions of someone else's soul or experience when we want to know so badly what their lives were made of and what meaning they found in their old lives? And of course, what he sort of ends up getting to is that you know, that maybe isn't the right way, or at least a very productive way of trying to measure the value of his own life.
Yeah. Just terrific. That's author Catherine Dion. Her debut novel, The Dependence, is making its way onto many critics' lists of must reads for this summer. So go read it. Catherine, thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin. What a pleasure.